Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. This morning's meditation is taken from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, where the Apostle writes, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, that is, they last a short time. But the things that are unseen are eternal." This is our text, dear friends in Christ. The following is a description of a man lost in the desert. He has been out of food and water for days. His lips are swollen. His tongue is swollen. He's all beat up and bloody. Some of his bones are almost peeking through. He has been scraped and beaten up by cactus, by sand, and by the sun. He is blistered. And he's crawling over this little hill, and he comes across a little plant, and he props himself up on one of his bloody elbows. He looks down at the plants, and he says, "You know, if things keep going like this, I might get discouraged." Many would say this fellow had a lot of reasons to be discouraged, but this man had a different perspective. Life from time to time certainly has its moments, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems reasons to be discouraged pile up. One thing happens, something else takes place, and other things follow. Discouraging happenings can be like curves on Highway 160. There's always another one just up ahead. Paul, as well as many other saints, experienced persecutions, pain, suffering, life's ups and downs. In fact, Paul's list could hardly be called light and momentary. However, he had a different perspective, a perspective which comes from faith that God has revealed, the love God demonstrated in Christ, the strength God's word and promises give us, the anticipation of eternal life that we have because Jesus rose from the dead. These truths we also have. These give us God's perspective in discouragement. In this chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking about the gospel that he and others with him proclaim. They do not proclaim themselves. They preach that Jesus Christ has been crucified and risen from the dead to forgive us all our sins and give us salvation. They who proclaim Jesus and the gospel are frail and breakable human beings due to all the things that happen to them in this life. The power to change people from dead to alive in Christ comes from God. It does not come from those who proclaim the gospel. Nevertheless, they are afflicted. They are perplexed. They are persecuted and struck down. They are always in danger of being attacked by those who do not believe in Jesus, are attacked by the circumstances in their life. However, the life of Christ is shown forth through their mortal existence, and so they continue to proclaim Jesus in spite of what's going on around them. In verse 16, Paul compares and contrasts the outer self with our inner self. The outer self is everything that is connected with this sinful world that is passing away. John explains further in his first letter. He says, "Don't love the world and what it offers. Those who love the world don't have the Father's love in them. Not everything that the world offers physical gratification, greed, extravagant lifestyles comes from the Father. It comes from the world. And the world and its evil desires are passing away. We all as human beings have connections to the world. The trick is to know what's more important, to know what's least important, to know what doesn't last, and to know what continues on into eternity. What we as disciples of Jesus need to decipher is to do God's will and not let the things that pass away stop us from the more important things, from doing God's will. Satan and people without Jesus in their hearts and lives try their level best to sidetrack us. And this is all part of our outer self. Our outer self is wasting away, Paul writes. We who are over 50, over 60, understand this perhaps a little bit better. Paul compares this outer self with the inner self. Our inner self is the regenerate, spiritual existence, body and soul and spirit redeemed by Christ the crucified. And this is in conflict with the outer self. This inner self knows and trusts God for forgiveness of sins in Christ and living the redeemed life and serving our Lord in response to His great love. God demonstrated this love when He sent Jesus to live without sin for all who are sinners. Sent Jesus to suffer on the cross for our sins and die in our place, and then on Easter to be raised from the dead in victory to give us salvation and a place in eternal life in heaven with our great and gracious God. From time to time, life on this side of heaven can get us down and discouraged. When the Lord converted Saul from Tarsus, also known as Paul, He told him that he would have to suffer quite a bit for the name of Jesus. Later in this letter of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about his trials and the things that he had endured for the sake of the gospel. Paul refers to imprisonment, countless beatings, being near death, being whipped and flogged 5 times, beaten by rods 3 times, stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times. He spent a day and a night adrift at sea, being in danger from anyone you can be in danger from. Toil and hardships, not able to sleep, hungering and thirsting, being exposed to the cold and to the elements, and enduring every day the pressure of all the churches God started through him. Do you think all these things might be reason for Paul to be discouraged? For Paul to lose heart? It's not just Paul that faces reasons to be tempted to lose heart. All God's people are tempted to be discouraged. David, for instance, felt the snares of death encompassing him, surrounding him, suffering distress and anguish at the hands of his own king, at the hands of the enemies of Israel, and even from the hands of his own family. In fact, there were times when he was very upfront with the Lord his God. He said, "How many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God." He said, "Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled." He said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Humanly speaking, did David have reasons for being discouraged and losing heart? Every saint, every disciple of Jesus is assailed by life on this side of eternity. Consider your life. Consider what you have endured or what you are now enduring. What we deal with is different than a Paul or a David. Nevertheless, we endure negative things in life. Things that can mount up and add distress and frustration and discouraging, causing us to be tempted to lose heart. we deal with life in its various parts. Struggles with family, struggles with health, or the health of someone we love. Dealing with problems of various kinds and worries and concerns. Frustration of living out the life under the cross of Jesus can also include dealing with temptations, especially those temptations we seem to always struggle with. Wondering what God is doing in my life, or in the life of my family, or the life of the church. And then there's wondering about our nation and how far away from the Lord's ways our nation is going, has gone. Worry about what's happening in the political arena in our world. We all have reasons to be discouraged. Paul in our text today relies on the truth in Christ. The truth of God's Word. Even though his outward life may be wasting away or afflicted or perplexed or persecuted or struck down, the truth of Christ, the truth of Christ's Word will always endure, will always be true, will always be victorious. Even if our circumstances, humanly speaking, gets the better of us from time to time, and the world sees things that we are defeated, nevertheless, the one who raised up Jesus will raise us up also. Our Lord will deliver us. He will see us through. The Lord will take us to himself in glory ultimately. With this truth, we can live boldly in our circumstances, giving witness to others about our great God and Savior, the one who sustains us and will take us to himself in eternal life. This was what Paul did. Even in the most difficult of times, Paul continued to speak and fulfill his ministry, fulfill his service to his Lord, because he knew and he trusted in his God to deliver him in life and bring him to life everlasting. Just this last week, I had a funeral for a dear friend. She suffered with dementia for many years, and the Lord finally called her home. The text that I chose was 2 Timothy 4, where Paul is awaiting his own execution. Was he depressed? No, he looked forward to the crown of righteousness. Paul knew and believed and proclaimed that God had shown his love for us and for the world, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us all. We haven't earned Christ's love. We haven't earned forgiveness. Jesus did. Jesus lived and died and rose again for us because he loves us. So he secured salvation for us. He brought us into a relationship with the Lord. Paul wrote to the Romans, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave Jesus up for us all, how will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things?" Think about that, especially when you're going through discouraging times. God secured salvation from eternal damnation from God. We were on our way to hell, but God saved us in Christ. And if God did this for us, he will also be with us in life and living as we go waste away, as we lose heart, as we are discouraged. He will see us through, sustaining us with his word and promises and his blessed sacrament. He will ultimately see us to life without crying, without mourning, without pain in heaven. These things are true no matter how severe our reasons for being discouraged are. God's steadfast love, David would say, endures forever. God's love always goes with us. This is our perspective in discouragement. This is what gets us through to continue in serving our Lord. One reason I love the Psalms is because the psalmist doesn't shy away from his negative emotions. He expresses in the midst of that his trust in the Lord, his God, when life was at its worst for him. Listen to David in Psalm 6. "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am languishing, that is becoming feeble, weak, dispirited. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, to deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. And Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary and with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. Grows weak because of all my foes. And then he says, depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. What is David doing? He is pouring out the reasons for his discouragement, but where is his eyes focused? On the Lord his God. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. See, in the midst of his reasons to be discouraged, David turned to the Lord, and he trusts in his God. Your people of God, get to know your God in the pages of Scripture. Get to know all those promises in the Bible, and then trust that what our Lord says, he will do, and he will do in my life and your life. A man by the name of Jerry Bridges gives a good definition of trust. He writes, trust is not a passive state of mind. Trust is a vigorous act of the soul by which we choose to lay hold on the promises of God and then cling to the promises of God despite the adversity that at times seeks to overwhelm us. Trust is a vigorous act of the soul. As believers in Jesus for the salvation of our souls, we have the Holy Spirit living in us to enable us to lay hold of those promises of the Lord and cling to those promises despite reasons all around us for losing heart at times. Remember, David and Paul were just sinners saved by grace like you and me. They were great because God is great. God is gracious. God made them who they are. All glory goes to our God. God also gives us certain hope of life with our God and with his saints and angels as our light at the end of this sometimes mess called life. This hope is a reason Paul can call all his sufferings and danger light and momentary. Paul compared the worst of life could throw at him to the glories of life and eternity with God. This light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they pass away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. An eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison is what our God has given to us. Praise be to Jesus. It's already there in heaven. It's just waiting for you. We did not earn it or secure it. Jesus did. And this is our certain hope. This is our light through life. Our light through discouragement. This is the reason we keep on going. God is on our side and we will make it through our reasons for discouragement. We will make serving the Lord and his kingdom our goal no matter what happens to discourage us. We have the Lord. We have forgiveness of all our sins. We have salvation. We have the hope of living forever with our God in a perfect existence. Now talk about a perspective we have all the way through life. So we conclude by saying the words of Jude, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.